And welcome to Sex, Scandals, and Shenanigans. My name is Adrian, and I'll be your host. In this show, I discuss in as many details as possible the lives of notorious mistresses and lovers. Today's episode will be on the ancient Greek courtesan, Phryne, or Phryne. Either works. I've heard it both ways. Before discussing the persons in the story, I do need to say this. This show discusses sex, sexual assault, politics, and religion. Listener discretion is advised. Let's discuss what a mistress is. So, previously, I've used the Oxford English Dictionary, but when I try to go on there now, they want me to pay. So according to Cambridge, a mistress is a woman who's having a sexual relationship with a married man. Here's my contextual definition. A willing woman who is having a sexual relationship with a man. Now that the definitions have been made, let's see what sex and scandals this woman was up to. Today's episode features the following characters. Phryne or Phryne. I'm probably just going to call her Phryne from now on. That's what it looks like to me when I look at her name. Apelles, he was an artist. Praxiteles was an artist and sculptor as well. Parides, who was her lawyer and a lover. And Euthyas, a former lover / protector. Here we go. As always, we need to get an idea of who Phryne was, and a bit of background information is needed. Similar to Aspasia, last week's focus, there's not a lot of definitive documentation about Phryne and her early life. Scholars know that Phryne was from Thespiae in Boeotia, which is about northwest of Attica. And don't worry, I will post a link to a map in the show notes so you can kind of figure out, if you're interested, where Thespiae is. Phryne was born in the latter part of the 4th century BCE, before Common Era, give or take a year. It's estimated around 371. In 373 BC, just a couple years before she was born, the Theban city-state conquered Thespia, and it's probable that can be assumed that her family did move from Thespiae to Athens as refugees after Thespiae was conquered. Now, remember, in our previous episodes about Aspasia, Athens still may have had the Athenian citizenship law. On a related note, Phryne could have been a medic woman, or considered a medic woman as well. A medic person, particularly in this case a medic woman, is someone who lives in Athens but does not have Athenian rights and privileges as a citizen, or in her case, a secondary citizen since she's a woman. Phryne was more than likely two Thespian parents in Athens. However, Phryne may have had lived her life in Athens, but may not have been an Athenian citizen. Again, considered a medic, potentially. According to recent friend Plutarch in his Parallel Lives collection, Phryne isn't her given name, but rather it was Menserati, which apparently was supposed to mean Menserati may have meant or translated to remembering virtue. How ironic of a name would that be if you're a courtesan? Interesting take. Anyway, Phryne's name is a nickname given to her. It translates to toad, which I guess was a description of what she looked like. She, I guess, had a yellowish or jaundiced or sallow complexion. Phryne is a nickname, not so much an actual name. And that's, again, courtesy of our friend Plutarch. Phryne was allegedly, of course, coming from a poor refugee family, selling capers to make ends meet, and of course, getting dragged into sex work. Now, she wasn't a porne. She was part of the hetaira. So I know we discussed this previously. Pornes were like the two-bit streetwalkers and or lot lizard. And the hetaira is similar to the Japanese geisha, where they excelled in art, entertainment, conversation, and, you know, a little bit of the horizontal mambo. But we also know they entertain their customers or their clientele in the bedroom. Sex work in ancient Greece is one way to make money. And apparently, she amassed a fortune so large that when Alexander the Great came in 335 BCE and just toppled Thebes, which is right by Thespiae, in the ancient Greek map, just refer back to that. Anyway, so he came over, he conquered it. She had enough money to say, let's build some walls. Kind of reminds me of something that happened, I don't know, in 2016 to 2020. If you know, you know. Somehow, I don't think building a wall in 335 BCE has the same racist connotations as it does from 2016 to 2020. So weird. Here's our girl scandal. Around 350 to 340 BCE, approximate dates, of course, Phryne was charged with impropriety, or the Greek word asebia, a type of blasphemy. So the charges, there were actually three for impropriety. One was that she was bringing a new god into the Greek pantheon. His name was Isodeates, but somehow he's associated with like Dionysus, who in and of itself is one of the one gods you really don't want to piss off. But anyway, she was also charged with shameless komos, or a ritual procession, illegally, of course, probably to her new revered deity. Apparently, she was also charged with putting together unlawful debauched meetings. But yeah, so apparently she was throwing these parties that were illegal as well, or debauched, rather, not than illegal, but just straight up debauched. Want to know who put the charges against her? This dude named Eurythias. Oh my god, I said his name earlier. Eurythias. Damn it, I knew I was going to get it. Eurythias. He was probably butthurt when their assignation or their relationship ended. That's nice of him. This was also a possible reminder of who he was as a former lover and how he wasn't a current lover and or favorite, because apparently he sounds like a douchebag. Anyway, so let's get to the trial. This is where most of the meat and bones are when it comes to her story. One of her lovers, Hyperiades, he was not a fan of Philip II of Macedon or his son Alexander III, also known as Alexander the Great of Macedon. He prosecuted people who were pro-Macedonian sympathizers, including Philippiades of Paeania, because he was pro-Macedonian and revered Alexander the Great against the conquering of Athens. But again, we're talking early to mid, we're talking about like 335 to 333 BCE, because we do know that Alexander the Great died in 332 BCE. Something to note in his oratory skills and subjects, he was known to wax on about good food and women. Funny how that becomes important. Hyperides arrives and speaks on behalf of Phryne to the jurors and at her trial. After making his case on him why Phryne should be acquitted of her charges, so he was her legal representative in this court case. As per Plutarch, noticing his speeches potentially not getting the way he wanted it to go towards the jurors, Hyperides takes Phryne, puts him in front of the jurors, and strips her naked. And so she is bare-breasted, they see her body, and they're like, damn it, we have to acquit. She stands before them with her exposed breasts, and of course, she gets acquitted of all three of her charges. Cool, she got acquitted on her charges. You know what else is nice about this trial? Eurythias was essentially humiliated by the loss of the trial. According to Greek grammarian and philosopher Hermippus, good god, states that he never spoke publicly again, and according to another source, Caparis, he was disenfranchised on his rights as an Athenian citizen because he couldn't get enough votes to support his claim against Phryne. Apparently, he needed 1/5 or 20% of the jurors to support his claim and find her guilty of those three charges, but he couldn't do that, so he had to pay a fine too. So, something, getting enough votes. Georgia. It sounds like Georgia in 2020. So, of course, our girl Phryne was the talk of the town, legally speaking. You know what else she was a part of? Art. Included in the show notes, there are multiple sculptures attributed to her likeness. Maybe not the jaundiced toe coloring, but she was quite a popular model. Two artists that have been creating artworks based on her are Praxiteles and Apelles of Kos, or Kos. K-O-S. My Greek is terrible. I'm sorry. If you thought my Latin was bad previously, my Greek's even worse. Praxiteles, no life dates given, but we do know that he lived in the 4th century BCE, is most known for his sculpture of Aphrodite of Cnidos, or Cnidos. This statue is a fully nude female form, but Roman author Pliny the Elder attributes the statue for another woman named Cretina. We're not sure, but it has been documented the statue is attributed to her, Phryne, as Aphrodite. Now, Apelles of Kos has seen Phryne walking into the sea and was called to paint her likeness. Aphrodite rising from the sea, or Aphrodite Anadyomene, which was then housed at the Temple of Asclepius, and then, you know, 400 or 500 years later, guess who comes along and takes the painting because he likes it? Augustus, also known as Octavian, the adopted son of Julius Caesar. He's coming in the future. So the best way to describe Phryne, she was a beautiful, if not mortal, rival for Aphrodite. Eat your heart out, Mira Savino. Successful part of the Hetaira. Even one of her lovers defended her in court. She was financially successful woman in ancient Greece, which again, it's kind of hard to do if you're not either protected by someone who's already rich and part of the upper echelons of ancient Greek society, or you know, you make your money on your back. So the real question comes down to, again, as we ask every episode, was Phryne a mistress? Abso-fucking-lutely. She was. And not only that, but to boot, she humiliated one of her previous lovers. That's the best part. Like, again, after the trial, her former lover, the one that brought her up on the three charges that I mentioned earlier, he was so humiliated that he did not talk public anymore. And he may have been disenfranchised, meaning his political aspirations were just gone. Like, he wouldn't be able to work in the courtrooms, work as a speechwriter, as a lawyer, or be a statesman. And he couldn't be a juror, which, even though it didn't pay much, it was still a way to make money as a Athenian citizen. Again, male citizens only, but a citizen nonetheless, and a way to make some money for your family and estate. He fucked around and he found out. We don't really know anything about her death, but we can surmise that she did pass away on or around 316 BCE. It could have been 315, but it's going to be around there. There's no documentation as to, you know, how and when she died. She could have died of old age. She could have died of disease. We don't know. But she has a fucking legacy, dude. Charged with impropriety with the potential of a death penalty, which I didn't state earlier, but yeah, there was potential for a death penalty had she been found guilty of all three of her crimes. She was probably one of the original ancient Greek influencers. She had a modeling career. Imagine if Instagram was back then. It's not like you take a quick snap, and then you can post it. It's like, all right, you gotta wait like 5 years before the painting's done. I'm like, hey, here it is. Here's my artwork. And again, she fucked around and Athens found out. Thank you for listening to Sex Scandal and Shenanigans. Be careful you don't get into shenanigans. I may end up telling your story next. If you're interested in contacting the podcast, I have updated my email to sexscandalshenaniganspod@gmail.com. You are also welcome to visit my website, sexscandalshenanigans.my.canva.site. The podcast is hosted, produced, and edited by me, Adrian. Thank you again, and bye.